AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider, it's the podcast.
Yeah, well, we may as well say AJ, Bridge, Spider and Jimmy Barnes. He joined us all morning with some great revelations, from wanting to take his dogs everywhere to some pretty dark bits of his past.
Yeah, and what kind of influence the music had on him. And also, I found a snake at home, which I chased my wife around the house with.
We saw it, and it was little, and yours
is... It was not little.
It was skinny and little. Your snake isn't big at all.
It got up, and I'll tell you what, it can put up a fight. I'm talking about one of the biggest snakes I've ever seen. No, on Sunday.
It was not.
On Sunday, I arrived home with my wife, Cherie, and just on our driveway, there was a snake. Mm. And we've never seen a snake. Travelled all around Australia, and I've only ever seen two, one at Byron Bay and this one at home.
How did it get through security at the Cove?
Well, I don't know. Didn't have a pass. I asked it. Hadn't been let on the gate.
No.
What are you doing here?
Wasn't down as a guest in anyone's house.
Nothing.
Okay.
So we called Tony Harrison, the snake relocator, and the snake had gone and hidden, and there's rocks and everything at home, so he said it's probably got a home behind the rocks. Yesterday I had a mate around, went out to the garden, the other side of the garden, and there it was. Just quickly went across the path and into another hedge. And my mate was scared as like I am. I'm not a fan of snakes at all.
No.
And he started looking for it and goes, I'll catch it. I said, well, can you do that? I said, Tony Harrison said, it's only a tree snake. It's not venomous. You'll be right. So he's gone, okay. And he started looking underneath. And I said, no, the snake man said, this kind of snake will come up to the top of the hedge, poke its head through and pretend it's a branch and look at you. Mm.
Like a prairie dog.
Yeah, and a minute later, there it was. And he's grabbed its tail and he's caught it. So I've yelled out to Cherie, get a pillow slip. So she's got a pillow slip and we've put the snake in the pillow slip and Cherie hated it. So I walked inside and myself and a mate, Mark Palazzi, thank you very much for catching the snake. We thought, you know what, we'll have a bit of fun. Cherie absolutely hates snakes.
Oh, New Zealand, they don't have any.
Yeah, so even though it's in a pillow slip, I thought I might chase her around the house. Oh.
Cherie.
What?
Cherie, here.
Oh, bugger off.
Come here.
Get the snake away from me now. Please don't.
Darling, come here.
You don't.
Give me a big cup.
Don't, seriously, I'll shoot you.
Please give me one big cuddle, darling. I love you. Give me a big cuddle.
Get away from me.
Come on. One big
cuddle. Seriously, get away from me.
Come on. You don't have to go outside. Come here.
Don't hate snakes.
Come on.
Don't.
I love it. You're going outside and I've only got a snake. This is the best day of my life. Cherie, come here.
Seriously, put the thing away. Keep it away from me. Why are you doing this?
Come on, one big cuddle.
P, seriously, I will stab you. Put that thing outside now.
She wasn't happy.
That's extinct in itself, Cherie getting chased by a spider snake.
I know, exactly.
So I've kept it.
He's out and about promoting his brand new tour and album and book, Working Class Man, An Evening of Stories and Songs from Jimmy Barnes, the commemorative edition of the classic number one album. And he's everywhere at the moment, all over the media. And he's joining us today to have a chat through the show. Hello, mate.
Hello there. So I was talking to my wife about my dog. My dog's at the vet.
Oh, no. Is it all right?
Oh, what's happened?
He's okay. He's got an infection in a joint and he's in agony.
Oh.
But he's on painkillers and he's doing all right. We're just trying to get him out and get him home.
Old or new dog?
Yeah.
He's old. He's 15.
What kind of dog?
Miniature Schnauzer. I've got two of them, two brothers, and they're like the babies of the family. They're really cute.
That's right. So it's going to be right now. Have you got vet insurance or not? Because I don't.
You know what? I have, but they've used it up. It's more expensive than kids. But it's okay. I love them dearly.
How can you use up all your vet insurance? That's the idea of having it.
I know, but they only give you up to 12 grand or something. My dogs are 15. They've been, and one's a diabetic. They've been in and out of hospital. It's incredible the amount of money you can spend on them. But you know what? They're like my best mates. So I'll, whatever it needs to make them comfortable, they've got it.
Exactly.
Have you ever taken them on holiday with you?
I have. They used to come on the road with me. I'd take them, you know. There's a few hotels around Australia, that big hotels that used to let me bring them. There was a place in Brisbane, actually, and I used to take the dogs, and I'd get there, and they'd have, like, special beds made for them. They'd make, like, big sort of, you know, crunchy bone with ribbons through them, sitting on the corner of the floor waiting for the dogs when they checked in. It's really cool.
Good on you, Jimmy. Jimmy's going to stay with us right through the morning. It's 13 to 7, hello to Tweed.
Isn't that a good little revelation? He loves his schnauzers and he takes them away with him. I love that. No, well, I do. If I could take my dogs ever, I would.
Well, a lot of people do.
Yes.
We want to know, actually, where do you take your dogs? Where have you taken your dogs? Have you taken them on your holidays overseas? Do you take them everywhere you go? 13, 20, 7, 10, where have you taken your furry friends?
Well, there's so many even cafes you can take your dogs to now, which impresses you, doesn't it, Peter?
Yeah.
Shall I throw out some Human League tickets?
Oh, if they're any good.
Don't you want to, AJ?
Human League live at the Star Gold Coast, 16th of Dec. The Human League, iconic 80s band, at 16 December. Tickets at Ticketek for Human League. How far and how often have you taken your dogs on holiday or anywhere for that matter? How far would you take your pets on holiday or just on travel with you?
Well, a lot of people take them a long distance. Jimmy Barnes just talking about when he was travelling that a lot of hotels in Melbourne, because it was Jimmy, would make up little beds for his dogs.
Yes. And,
which is great. There wouldn't be too many. I think there'll be hotels around soon that do have pets. I don't know if there is any at the moment, is there?
I'm not sure, but I do know, of course, cafes nowadays. But on construction sites, you can't take dogs like you used to be able to, which is sad. But I do know a Ted and Jemima. I go camping at a dog-friendly spot where everyone has dogs. They're my two. And I love camping with my pooches.
We've got a caller here.
Rick in Narang. Now, Rick, we know you got a lovely little pooch, a dog called Dog, I think, isn't it?
No, Goo.
Goo.
Do you take Goo everywhere?
Mate. I'm going to work today. She's coming with me. She knows I'm going to work. She, you know, she'll come out to SeaWorld with me tomorrow and probably go to Ballina today. And
does she get upset if you leave her?
Oh, look, I wanted to take her on the cruise with me, but the blooming cruise ship company wouldn't let me bring her.
Oh, what a shame. What kind of dog is it, Rick?
Blue catalogue, Bridgie. But when I got back, and dogs know when you go away.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs, they know. And as soon as I got back, she lost a leg.
What?
Yeah, she had bone cancer, apparently.
Oh.
Are you kidding?
No, she got three legs now, Bridgie.
Oh, my gosh. She really does.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. But that's why I still take her everywhere now.
Aww.
Oh, that's great, Rick. Yeah. I will say good morning to Goo. Anthony in Labrador. Anthony, do you take your pets wherever you go?
I used to take my bull terrier with Mum in my 48 Ford all the way from Rosebud up through Mount Buffalo. Right up to Sydney, back down to Mildura, over to Adelaide, to all the concerts, everywhere.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. You ask my mum. She's 96. She'll tell you.
What was her name?
She used to come too, and the band used to come and sit at our place.
Oh. What kind of dog was it? What was his name?
You ask the Matt Taylor, they'll tell you.
I'm always with you, and then you'll say something that absolutely bends my brain and takes me another way.
You've never had pet horses, Anthony?
Oh, God, I did up the farm, yeah.
Oh,
those
God,
little bloody tiny one. I put my son Ryan on it, and I bucked him straight off. He'd never go near a horse again.
It's your fault, Spider.
Barbara, disgraces. Hey, at least I haven't got two heads like people in Gimby.
Oh, Anthony. Oh, you're awesome. Bye, love.
See you, mate.
See you, guys. Ta-da.
Speaking with Jeremy Barnes all morning, and it was very sad. He knew George Young very well from the Easy Beats and the producer of Akadaka and a lot of other soundtracks. And it was a sad day, wasn't it, AJ?
Remiss, I think, if we didn't mention a trailblazing musician and producer in the great man we lost yesterday, George Young.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, people say, oh, Jimmy, you'd be in the soundtrack to my life. George Young and you know, and the Easy Beats and most of the music he's made since the Easy Beats have been the soundtrack to my life. I mean, one of the great most influential musicians, producers, people in the music business to come out of Australia. You know, George, you know, and I really related to him because, you know, like the Easy Beats were like us, they were immigrants, and they met in a hostel and formed a little band that went on to influence music worldwide. You know, when I was a kid, they were the heroes. You know, it was like I was watching, you know, Billy Thorpe and the Easy Beats. And these guys, they were incredible. George Young, you know, look, that family is a dynasty of great music. And my heart goes out to Angus. He's, you know, he's lost his big brother and probably, you know, the guy that influenced him more than anybody else in the world. So that's a big loss for Australian music and for music worldwide.
Here, here, Jimmy. Jimmy, I was relating on air this morning to Bridge and Spider. I remember when I was 10, I was growing up in Tasmania and I went to a Campbell's, it was called Campbell's Record Store, and I stood in the store and I saw the Easy Beats play live in a record store when I was 10. And you know what? You're so right. I mean, moments like that that I can still vividly remember, I'm getting goosebumps telling you about it, that they're the soundtrack to your life, aren't they? They're the things that influence
absolutely.
Your life. I wanted to be a rock star. I never made it. I wanted to be Jimmy Barnes, and I became a DJ. It's not about me, but just that band had so much influence over people around our era.
But you know, I was like you. I see Stevie Wright and the Easy Beats, and I'd just be like, oh, man, this is what I want to do. And then years later, when I was still a struggling young musician in Colchester, I knew Bon Scott because we were mates in Adelaide, and Bon invites me at the studio, and I used to hang, I'd sit next to George and in between George and Harry while they were producing AC/DC and watch them weave magic with their brothers, you know, there. It was just, you know, they were so, you know, George was so generous with his time, and really good man who really wrote, you know, everything, you know. Friday on My Mind to, you know, Love Is in the Air, you know, really, and everything in between. He was amazing, amazing musician, human being.
You're so right, Jimmy, so right.
And, you know, the Easy Beats, it brings back massive memories of it. It was one of my dad's favourite albums. And obviously the music from our parents influence our music choices.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, kind of. Well, my dad was...
Peter Everett.
Yeah, Peter Everett Sr. He was a massive fan of Elvis. Sweet, you should have had him locked down, jailbird. He's Lord Fairlane. That and he used to love a little bit of Elvis, and then if it wasn't Elvis, it was... Engelbert. Start
just a little. He'd sit in his car to get away from you guys, wouldn't
Lord
he?
Lord Fairlane, they're the two he loved. Just
like the one... This is mine. I grew up on Bing Crosby. My mother loved Bing.
Oh.
And this one. Mum and Dad loved this one.
Oh, this is a beautiful song. That is beautiful.
What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. Here's yours, Bridgie.
Grew up on a heavy diet of Herman's Hermits.
Oh.
Yeah. Round, round, get around, and Beach Boys. Dad's break was Snapper. And he made his own Malibu. And, massive Beach Boys fan, my dad.
So what influenced you? What influenced you through your life from your parents? The music that you grew up with.
Yes.
Give us a bell here. 13, 27, 10. Got more tickets to Human League. The Human League live at the Star Gold Coast, 16th of December. Tickets at Ticketek. The music that influenced you in your childhood. The music your parents influenced you with.
Love
Give
it.
Us a call. Rod, join us.
Yes, we're talking about the musical influences from the parents.
Yes.
My mum used to love the old-time show tunes from the 20s and 30s, and one day she came home with a record that had just been redone by a bloke called Ted Mulry.
Oh.
The Darktown Strutters Ball.
Oh, that's cool.
So they'll be... The modern era of those is the Angels, because that's who you're into.
From that, I just fell in love with the chunky rhythm guitars, and along come the Angels, and there it goes. Yeah.
Well, of course, who did Jump in My Car? George Young.
Yes. Produced by George Young.
There you go.
That's amazing.
We'll be over to you in a moment, Rod. Hello. What was the music that influenced you from your parents?
My mum and dad used to love Melanie Safka, Arlo Guthrie, and Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Oh, Dylan.
But wow. Melanie Safka, when I was a kid, going, I've got a brand new pair of roller skates.
You've got a brand new key.
That's a great song.
I know. And all the old Arlo Guthrie songs, God, he was amazing.
Wow. That's so cool. Great memory. Thank you.
No worries.
Awesome. Rod and Surfers, what was that influential music from your parents?
It was the Eagles and Bread.
Oh, Bread.
Bread?
Yeah, Diary.
Make it with you.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful songs. David Gates and Bread.
Yes.
Good on you. Thanks, Rod.
Thanks for that, Rod.
Thank you.
Wade in Southport. Wade, what music did you grow up with?
Rolling Stones. My mum was a mad fan. She'd seen them when she was a teenager and then again when she was 50. And my uncles were Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, my dad loves, and Joe Cocker.
Wow, that's a good diet.
Yeah, you got a good lineup.
Yeah, man.
Good on you, mate. Now, who have we got as a winner?
Cry from Coomera. Well done.
Human League tickets live at the Star Gold Coast, 16 December. Tickets at Ticket Tech Cry. Congratulations for that. Jimmy Barnes with us this morning. It's great having the iconic legend with us. Now, don't be confused, folks. There was a working class boy show, an evening of stories and songs. And now, after the working class boy, there's now the working class man book, the new working class man live show and book, both written by Jimmy. They begin in 1974. This one begins in 74 as he leaves Adelaide in the back of an old bread truck with a then unknown rock band called Cold Chisel.
And thanks again for joining us, Jimmy, and being so transparent about your life. Now, we're at the stage of the book where you reveal the personal side of your life.
I had a rough childhood.
Yeah.
It was lots of violence and abuse and all sorts of horrible stuff. And I was fleeing from that and I never wanted to look back. And this next book, Working Class Man, is a story of fleeing and trying to run away from your past that will eventually run you down.
Yeah, how does that change? Because you've just done the first part. You've done, you've travelled around doing the story up close and personal. And now this one, how's this different to what you've just been touring?
The working class boy show that I just did was my childhood. It was about about the formation and the trauma and the fear and the pain that I went through. The next stage, this next book and the next tour that I'm going to be doing is talking about the impact that childhood had on me as a man, and I don't want to walk away saying I'm blaming the childhood for everything I've done. I feel as a human being from the time I became an adult, I have to be responsible for my own actions. But there was a lot of stuff that I realize now really influenced and affected how I was as a father, as a singer, as a partner, as a friend, and this stuff got harder and harder for me to deal with. And to the end, I mean, I lived a blessed life. I was, in one of the best bands in the country. And people, had number one albums all over the place. I had everything you could want. But every night I'd end up, back in my hotel room looking at the mirror thinking, when are people going to see who the real you is? And, I didn't like myself. And I only measured my own self-worth on what other people thought of me. So, I was just, as long as my records are successful, as long as I was, doing this, I was happy, I was okay. But as soon as there was anything, any sort of flutter in that sort of image, I was worth nothing. And eventually I got to the point where I couldn't run from that anymore. And it was wearing me down. It was going to kill me. And I ended up literally, hanging on the end of a rope in a hotel room.
It is an incredible story that you, as you said, you can't run away from your insecurities, but someone who absolutely believes in you, and I've just read this morning, it came through, Michael Gudinski, who absolutely loves you. He says, that you're a loyal friend, you're a passionate family man, and you're the finest Australian singer he's ever heard. But I love this story he tells, and of you going in saying, I've got a new direction for you, Michael. It's new music. I'm going to blow everyone away. I've got some new songs. Michael said they were hokey, corny and terrible. And you called the band Jim's Barn Band and it was a stitch up.
Yeah, well, see, Gudinski, Michael was a dear friend of mine. Had been for years. And then when I went solo, I signed with Michael because I liked the fact that Michael put his own money on the line. So he was all excited about getting my first solo record. And when he was coming up, a couple of days before he came up to hear the record, me and the guys, we recorded, like, I think we did, I'm Going to Jackson, we recorded I Walk the Line, something else, And I told Michael that because I'd spent so much time with, in America recording, I'd gone in a new direction. Country music was the big new thing. Rock and roll was dead. And it wasn't just that it was country music. I was really bad at it as well. And so I sat Michael down and you should have seen his face. He, to Michael's credit, he sat there and he tried to tap his foot to it, and he just didn't look up. He didn't see it. And I played him another. I said, "See, I know this is difficult, but you're going to have to get used to it. This is what I'm doing now." And to Michael's credit, I think if I had genuinely been doing that, he would have backed me up on it. But when I said to him, "Look, I'm only kidding you, idiot. There's a rock and roll record here. This is just for fun." And I could see the relief on his face. But I'm sure he would have backed me up. He might have said, "You have to make a better one than this." So.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, Jimmy. He's a great man. And the show, of course, out on the road again. And the album, the commemorative album, Working Class Man, An Evening of Songs and Stories, is coming to a stage near you. And the Working Class Man album and book is out already. It's been out for about a week or so.
AJ Bridge and Spider for Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.